is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken, with me as always, Cody Westerlund. Cody, we're almost there. We're, what, about a week away?
One preseason game stands between us and the NBA regular season as it pertains to covering the Bulls, who will play the Raptors on Friday night at the United Center to conclude their preseason slate. The Bulls, above 500 in preseason, 3-2. That's good.
They're coming for the preseason championship. I love that they don't have their opening night until Friday, because it's like, okay, so that first night you've got, the Warriors and the Rockets, the Cavs and the Celtics. They're like, okay, we're going to have, these marquee games. We're going to get all the relevant teams out of the way. And then, everybody else is they're just going to play on the Friday night when nobody's going to be watching.
Yeah, Thursday, actually, October 19th, which is a week from today. But, yeah, not till, night two or three, whatever, the NBA there. The Bulls, not going to get top billing this year quite as much anymore. But, hey, they've been what they need to be, I think, in the preseason by way of, let's put this forth. The first thing management said at the media day and what they've stressed is that the Bulls play really hard and they need to run Fred Hoiberg's system. They've done both of those things so far. So when you're looking how's the rebuild all going so far? Is it off to a good start? The preseason, I feel like, has been productive from the Bulls as for the guys who are healthy and on the floor. The Chris Dunn injury, which we'll get to in a second, that's a bad setback. But as far as what we see on the floor, I think the Bulls should be enthusiastic about just how the process is going in the big picture.
Right. I mean, that's always been kind of the way that this season was going to be judged, success or failure. Are these young guys getting better? Is Fred Hoiberg actually able to implement his system? And I think we can kind of check both of those boxes. We're seeing some growth from Denzel Valentine. He's more confident shooting those shots. He's making those shots.
Is it possible to be more confident than Denzel already was last year when he would, go 6 of 9 one game and then, 0 of 7 the next night? He always felt like he was still max confidence even when he needed to not be.
Right, but the difference is that this year he doesn't have anybody like Dwayne Wade or Jimmy Butler saying that he hasn't earned the right to take that shot. just completely eliminating that element. But you look at all these guys. Nico has been more confident. He's been shooting the ball more consistently in terms of just getting shots up and not hesitating as much. The new guys, Justin Holiday's fitting in well. Jaren Grant's looked pretty good for the most part. Chris Dunn before the injury, which again we'll get to in a second, he was having a pretty good... you can look at this and say, okay, they're playing the way Hoiberg wants to play. Guys are playing hard. They're playing unselfish. If they play like this, they're not going to win a lot of games because the talent level isn't there. But this is the way that you want them to play in the long term so that you have that system in place so that when they do eventually get players that are talented enough to actually win games, then that'll already kind of be in place in the infrastructure.
We figure out who the Bulls' second leading scorer is going to be. I think the preseason showed us that.
Justin Holiday.
Justin Holiday, I think, will average a good, 15? 16? 17?
I'm playing fantasy basketball for the first time in 4 years this year, and I actually drafted him in the last round just because I figured, The one thing I remember from fantasy, I was never, the biggest fantasy player. There are people who are, obsessive about it. And if you're really into fantasy basketball, you should check out Locked On Fantasy Basketball with our man Josh Lloyd. But, guys on terrible teams who are just going to get a ton of
volume,
get a lot of shots, that's going to be, that's money in fantasy.
That's a phenomenal pick by you. That's, almost a little insider info, a little insider trading tip, you know what I mean, right there? Covering the Bulls and then snatching him up at the end, because he's going to be the go-to scorer for a month at least, maybe a month and a half, maybe 2 months until Zach LaVine comes back. J- Justin Holliday had, what, 28 points in 29 minutes the other night when the Bulls beat the Cavs. He's shooting the three ball well. He's a smart guy, so I feel like when he does shoot the ball, they are smart shots. So it's not like he's taking bad shots.
Pretty much everybody on the team so far in preseason has been taking pretty good shots. Even, like, you know, the guys like Denzel and Nico, who you usually see as, like, oh, those guys are just, like, gunners. They've been, and maybe it's just a product of the ball movement and the system that they're running, but I don't feel like guys are taking a lot of just bad shots where you have no idea why they're taking them. I feel like a lot of the looks they're getting are open, or at least, like, shots that you're okay with the guys taking.
I want to parse through this a little bit. They're three-pointers, and just the volume of three-pointers they're shooting just at an outrageous rate. 41 threes for the Bulls attempted the other night against the Cavs. In that win, excuse me, that was incorrect, but they did shoot a lot of three. No, that was 41 threes. That's right.
You were right. Shouldn't second guess yourself.
Sorry, yeah, I was misreading a couple box scores there. Just checking, but that's keeping up with the pace of the preseason for them. I mean, there's a lot of nights where they're over 35 three-pointers here in the preseason. You have to remember, this is a team that rarely ever got up to that number last year. I think 22 three-pointers a game they shot, which was one of the fewest amount totals in the NBA per game last season. Is this just the new normal? Is this the new reality for the Bulls? Because this is what Fred Hoiberg wants, but still, like, all of a sudden the Bulls didn't shoot threes, and now they're just going to shoot as many as the Houston Rockets, you know? Like, is this what's normal?
Well, who was taking up the majority, the vast majority of their possessions last year?
Jimmy Butler,
Rajon Rondo, and Dwayne Wade. Like, yes. The three alphas are all not three-point shooters. Like, you're going to get more three-point shooters when you get rid of those guys and you replace them with, you know, Justin Holliday. I mean, Zach LaVine hasn't played yet, but Zach LaVine.
Like, you say those guys aren't three-point shooters, which... you're absolutely right. But then I immediately go to the other side of the argument. I'm like, I didn't realize Justin Holliday was quite a three-point shooter. I mean, he didn't shoot threes until he's a senior at Washington.
No, but he's gotten better at that over the years. He's been in the mid-30s.
Jaren Grant's hoisting. We know Nico is not shy about shooting three-pointers.
Markkanen was getting him up.
Yeah, he had an excellent game with 15 of his 18 in the fourth quarter against the Cavs, which... you like seeing, I think, because what his confidence. I mean, he said after his terrible preseason opener, that fourth game against the Pelicans when he debuted after the back spasms, he said, "Hey, I'm confident. That's never a problem, even when I shoot 1 of 9, basically, which he did in the opener." And you don't see it too much for the first two or three quarters against the Cavs, and then he just goes off. Like, I think that's important. Not the fact that they won a preseason game or the fact that he got confidence in that preseason game.
I'm going to stop you right there.
What?
One of my bold predictions in our bold predictions episode was that the Bulls were going to go undefeated against the Cavs this season. I just want to say that that's off to a pretty good start.
You just wanted to take a moment to flex.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Yes, it was a good start for the Bulls. They have the confidence when they play LeBron in the regular season to go beat him. But now you're making me lose my train of thought. What were
we talking about?
Markkanen. I like the part where a player on the Bulls just reeled off points, a lot of points in a small window of time. You know, like, there are guys in the NBA. There are probably what? Well, throw out 80% of people in the NBA probably don't ever score 15 points in like a 7-minute stretch in their career, mm-hmm. right? Like, that is, it's by no means an exclusive club at all. But it does say something about your offensive ability to reel off points quickly, because that means you can get hot. Like, most NBA players can't just drain a three, go to the bucket, get a hoop, another possession, take one off, get another bucket. Like, that's a glimpse, a window toward Lowry Markkanen being a bucket getter. And that's what they need.
It is, and I like that. These are, I mean, I know these are preseason games that don't actually count, but these are his first games against not just, like, you know, Summer League was NBA-ish competition, Eurobasket was, there are some NBA players on some of those international teams, but, like, not everybody on the team is an NBA player. You know, the first two games that he played, you know, he played against, you know, Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins with New Orleans, and they were playing their normal minutes, and then with Cavs, like, they played their guys in that game. This wasn't a preseason game where they just played their scrubs like there was that time last year where, like, none of their top 10 guys even came to the game in Chicago. Like, these are, I mean, I know maybe, like, LeBron isn't giving 100% max effort in the preseason, but, like, these teams are playing their guys. This is, like, real competition for Lauri Markkanen. His first two games against a pro, like, against actual, like, real NBA competition. He shoots 1 of 9 in the first game, and then he goes back out and he's still getting the shots up in the second game. He doesn't get discouraged. I like that.
Yeah, and I laugh at the, is it 7-1 that Fred Hoiberg is against the Cavs, I think, yes, in his first 2 years in the NBA? And he was running a completely different system before. Like, is Fred just the Cavs Eastern Conference kryptonite and the Bulls just can't ever get to the point where they can take advantage of that in the playoffs?
They really better hope. The Cavs better hope the Bulls don't somehow sneak to the 8th seed and get them in the...
Well, you already know I'm on the Wizards bandwagon for the 1 seed in the East, so the Bulls might have to get to the 7th seed. That's a bold prediction I should have had, but it didn't pertain to the Bulls. Like, I got 58 wins for the Wiz. I think they're just going to demolish the regular season because they have so much continuity and Beal and Wall figure it out, and they have a really talented starting lineup and not enough depth, but I think they're just going to roll the East in the regular season, which is, again, going to be a completely different prediction probably from me when the playoffs arrive, but I think this is the Wiz's regular season year.
The Celtics have looked pretty damn good in the preseason so far.
Is Gordon Hayward truly a star?
He looks pretty good. Like, their whole system looks pretty good. Like, Kyrie's fitting in, Hayward's fitting in, my man Yabusele's getting some minutes.
You just wanted to say the word Yabusele?
Shout out to my boy Hebert, if he's listening.
I think that Brad Stevens can probably make talent work in any manner. You know what I mean?
Toronto, Jonas Valanciunas shooting some threes now.
The Raptors, I feel like the Raptors, not a precipitous decline, but I think there's going to be a little regression here.
Yeah.
It just, doesn't it feel like this is just, they've kind of reached their ceiling, and now it's just a gradual fall back as they get older. To me, like, Serge Ibaka,
the Raptors are
Kyle Lowry, like, they're just, you're counting on these guys to keep up levels of production over the course of 82 games as they get older. I feel like the shoe has to drop at some
point. The Raptors are, like, the Eastern Conference version of, like, the Memphis Grizzlies in, like, the grit and grind era, where, like, yeah, not that they play the same style, because they don't, but, like,
yeah,
They're always solid. They're always solid. They're well coached. They have really talented players. They're never going to get past, you know, the super, you know, the more, you know, superstar teams in their conference, but they're always there. They're always solid. They're always going to be reliable. I feel like, you know, the Raptors, as long as Lowry and DeRozan are there and healthy, you can count on them being in the mix, but I don't think they're going to get them through.
They've always been like a top 4 seed and usually a top 3 seed over the course of the past, what, 3 or 4 years probably. I feel like the Heat could jump them.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Spoelstra, still a genius, one of the best coaches in basketball. They're running back a lot of their crew from last year that finished, what, 30-11, I think, in the second half of the season, something like that. And I think the Bucks, if Giannis makes another mini jump, and they can just, I guess, outlast the Jabari injury when he comes back. Like, I think they have more talent than the Raptors, I guess, is my point, if they can get everything together and survive that Jabari injury. So who on earth
is getting those last two playoff spots in the East? Because, okay, you got Cleveland, Toronto, Boston, Washington, Milwaukee, 76ers. Miami. Philly, did you see Embiid last night?
I did not. How'd he look?
22 points in 15 minutes. Looked okay.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Did you see the details of that extension that he got?
I saw there's a lot of protection in, like, half the money or something for
protecting
against any injury.
Well, basically, the way it's not protecting against any injury. It's, like, they specified his foot and his back, which are the two things that have given him problems in the past that have caused him to miss a lot of time. And so, basically, if he has a injury where he misses more than 25 games and plays fewer than 1,600 minutes in a season, they can waive him and get some of that money back.
Okay.
But if he keeps...
Unprecedented protection in...
Right, for like a max-level contract. Yeah. So, I mean, Embiid is absolutely talented enough that it's worth taking that gamble on him.
Yeah.
But I said this on Twitter the other night when that thing got announced. I'm a Blazers fan. I'm from Portland. I went through this with Greg Oden. Like, I'm not going to allow myself to be talked into Joel Embiid being healthy until I see it for a full season.
Yeah, and look, if he's Joel Embiid, when he plays and can play majority of the season, I don't think anyone expects him to play 82 games. And then I think the other if...
If you can get 60 out of him, that's a win.
I think the other if is if Ben Simmons fits in as well as they hope and what the big vision is, and he can be a difference maker quickly, I think they can grab that 8 seed. If it works, like, it might be a big learning curve for fitting in, what, a 6'10" Ben Simmons at point forward for them. And just figuring out, I know J.J. Redick's in the mix now, too. They got some new faces. But I think they certainly can make a run at that 8 seed. But that their margin of error is very thin if Embiid gets hurt for any extended period of time. And, hey, 20 games is still an extended period of time. You know what I mean? Like, you can be a 44-win pace team, and then all of a sudden he gets hurt for 20 games, and, you know, you go 4-16 and you're out of the playoffs. You know, something like that. So, back to the Bulls, though, who we don't expect to get the 8 seed.
The Bulls are not going to get the 8 seed.
As they wrap up the preseason
on
Friday.
Dude hit me up on Twitter and was like, I just bet $300 on Fred Hoiberg winning coach of the year to get the Bulls. And I'm just like, why don't you just give me $300 if you're going to light $300 on fire?
Well, if they get the 8 seed, I would vote Fred coach of
the
year.
Well, right, but like, if you're
going to... Warriors would have to win 79 games, go 79-3 for me to vote Steve Kerr over Fred Hoiberg as coach of the year if Fred Hoiberg gets the Bulls to play out. 78-4 for Steve Kerr and the Warriors still wouldn't get my coach of the year vote if Fred Hoiberg gets the Bulls to the playoffs.
I don't think the Bulls are going to make the playoffs. This is like, what's the opposite of a bold prediction?
Just a room temperature take.
Room temperature take. I don't think the Bulls are going to make the playoffs.
I think an absolute, something like that.
Right. We don't like to do absolutes. We don't like to deal with absolutes, but the Bulls are not going to make the playoffs. Bulls are not going to come close to making the playoffs.
They are obviously focused on player development. One of the key guys in that regard is Chris Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to the media at practice on Thursday for the first time since suffering an open left index finger dislocation, a gruesome injury in last Friday's preseason contest that had his bone visible?
Popped through.
Tendon visible?
He was talking to us. He talked to us today at practice. He said that when he saw how bad it looked at first, he thought the finger was broken. And then he went back to the locker room and their trainers just popped the finger back in. But like,
Big deal, by the way. Pop it back in.
Yeah.
No biggie.
We were talking to guys in the locker room after the game, and they were all saying, like, I had to look away. I didn't want to look at it. Like, I didn't want to see that. Like, it looked like a pretty bad injury. I mean, fortunately, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. It seems like he's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. They pretty much ruled him out for the beginning of the regular season. Yeah. Hoiberg said today that they hope to get him back shortly after the start of the season. I was told 2 to 4 weeks the other day. Like, that's kind of their timeline for him. So hopefully not too long for him. And it's especially disappointing because he was having his best game of the preseason before that injury.
What were his spirits like? I mean, just what was his disposition, demeanor?
He seems pretty... He's always been a pretty even-keeled guy. Like, he's like, I've been through... His whole attitude is like, I've been through so much worse than this in my life. I'm not going to worry about, you know, being out 4 weeks with a finger injury on a team that is rebuilding. He seemed like, you know, I'm just going to stay working, stay watching film. I'm going to, you know, get back soon. Like, it didn't seem like it was going to be, like, a long-term thing bothering him.
I love the spin zone from Fred Hoiberg saying that it's kind of a blessing in disguise. You know, it's his left hand so he can focus on fundamental one-handed shooting with his right hand because the Bulls have to overhaul the shot. Like,
is he going to be doing, like, baby hooks now?
No. He's not going to be doing baby hooks, but I can just see, like, 3 years from now, Chris Dunn climbs up to be a 36% three-point shooter and has a respectable jump shot for the first time in his career. They all point back to that turning point was when he dislocated his finger and his bone was sticking out, and then he had to focus on shooting with one hand. Let's not spin it that much. This is not good.
The most pivotal preseason game of the Bulls rebuild.
This is not good.
No.
The guy who you hope to win the starting point guard because you traded one of your best players in franchise
history
in Jimmy Butler, dislocating his finger and suffering a wound that's open that needs stitches, being out 4 weeks is bad. Always bad, as much as the Bulls want to spin it, but hey, that's part of the reason why I like the Bulls rebuild. That no matter what happens, they're happy. I can't believe everyone's happy.
Yeah, that's right. Because like, if an injury like this happens, if this was a normal year where the Bulls were like trying to be competitive and make the playoff, Chris Dunn gets injured and we're talking like, oh, well, what is this gonna do? Like, how much is this gonna set them back? Chris Dunn gets hurt, like, obviously that's not ideal, but we're just like, okay, so maybe they'll win 22 games instead of 24 now.
Yeah, I mean, it probably doesn't matter much. We're talking about point guards of the present. Point guard of the past made headlines, made news the other day.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, Derrick Rose in his first season with the Cavaliers, two seasons removed from playing for the Bulls now, made headlines because he said that he was involved in a video, recruitment video, of LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and also Chris Bosh in summer 2010 when the Bulls were trying to chase down a big three, maybe even a big four. But at the height of speculation, at the height of chaos, as LeBron and D-Wade were deciding on their new destinations and eventually settled in Miami, Derrick Rose did partake in a recruitment video. This was a new revelation, as far as we knew, and it was completely contradictory to the perception that Derrick Rose doesn't recruit players back then, which was a really big deal because a lot of other stars did it then and have really done it in years past. I mean, these past few years has been taken, ascended to new heights in that regard. But what did you make of all this? Did you think it was a big deal? Just react to that one.
It was just one of the weirdest, even by Derrick Rose's standards. And there have been a lot of weird Derrick Rose stories over the years, just, you know, between, like, his different comments about, like, wanting to walk at his kid's graduation or the free agency stuff a couple of the, like, even by those standards, this is, like, one of the weirdest things. Because this isn't just, oh, there's a perception out there that Derrick Rose doesn't recruit. Derrick Rose went on record after the Carmelo Anthony stuff and said, I don't recruit. Like, that's never been who I am. He said this, and now he's trying to spin it, now that he's in Cleveland with LeBron and Wade. He's saying, you know, oh, I didn't say anything about this video then because I wanted to see who had my back and who was going to report it. And, like the organization threw me under the bus by pushing this. And it's like, dude, you said on record that you did, like, maybe he did make a video, but, like, this is just, like, a millionth weird PR thing.
It's been confirmed that he was a part of the video. It was a tool as part of the team's presentation, and there were others in the video, teammates included, like Joakim Noah, according to multiple reports. I thought what was key in all of this was that it was a team-produced video in which they requested him to take part in it. It's not like Derek walked in the office and goes, how do we get LeBron? I'm ready to recruit him. What do you need me to do? Let's make a video for the presentation. I'll call him. No. Lee Jenkins of Sports Illustrated reported in, I think, 2011-ish that Derek Rose sent one text to LeBron James about recruiting, basically letting him know he'd like to play with him, which is fine. It's completely Derek's right. But for Derek to spin it as the organization didn't have my back on this recruiting point is really odd because, like you said, he went on record saying he doesn't recruit. You're a man. You get to write your own story if you want. You know what I mean? You could have said that any time in the last 7 years. You could have said that on Media Day in 2010.
And especially, like, in this day and age where everything leaks out. Like, if he really that badly wanted to combat the narrative that he doesn't recruit,
he's got Reggie Rose. Have Reggie Rose tell any reporter.
Hashtag sources close to Derrick Rose insist that he actually did. Like, that could have happened at any point during his time in Chicago. And, like,
What's odd to me is there are many other ways the Bulls didn't have Derrick Rose's back in his 8-year tenure with them. Most notably, when they put out in 2013 ahead of the playoffs that Derrick was behind the scenes, the Bulls put out that he'd been cleared by doctors. Derrick Rose didn't come back for the 2013 playoffs as the team was basically walking wounded.
And they just kind of let the backlash happen and
They let the public perception and that segment of the fan base push back at Derrick and say, hey, you weren't out there trying to win games, win a championship for us when doctors said you were good to go. And they basically let him criticize Derrick's basketball makeup by how competitive he was, you know? And look, he didn't feel medically comfortable at that point. Again, that's his right. I don't think they were going to win a championship that year if he came back anyway. No. You know what I mean?
That was the year after they lost Ashiq and Korver for nothing. Like, that team was not going to beat Miami.
No, they
would have lost in seven games instead of five in that series.
Yeah. So, like, in that regard, that's something that Derek could rightfully really come back and criticize the Bulls for. And now he's coming back and criticizing the Bulls for something that really A, isn't that big of a deal, and B,
is probably just not
pumping
accurate.
Up his, I think, his role in this as he was recruiting. Like, Draymond Green's out here texting Kevin Durant directly, like in the aftermath of losses a season before he hits free agency, saying, bro, we need you. You know what I mean? You need to come here. Draymond Green's getting on airplanes. Like, it has changed the paradigm, the dynamic.
Right, and even, as far as recruiting even has really changed. Even last summer, like, Jimmy Butler was, like, you know, Dwayne Wade is going on record and said, like, Jimmy Butler was really, like, texting me, calling me, trying to get me to come to Chicago, yeah. And that's a big part of why I came. This summer, like, when, you know, obviously Carmelo ended up getting traded to Oklahoma City, but before that, like, there were all these reports that Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum were always calling him and texting him, trying to get him to waive his no-trade clause to agree to go to Portland. Like this is the kind of thing that happens, and if Derrick Rose were participating in it in that way, it would have gotten out. And again, I'm not judging him for not doing that. Like, that's if that's just not his personality, that's not his personality. Not everybody is that outgoing recruiter. The Bulls had Joakim Noah to help try to recruit Carmelo in 2014. Like, there are other guys you can do that with.
That's the other thing, too. Like, he was part of the video, but he wasn't there in person when they recruited LeBron in a face-to-face meeting and presented a meeting in which management and ownership and Tom Thibodeau, I believe, were all at in summer 2010. And then he didn't show up to the Carmelo Anthony dinner in 2014 when the Bulls expected him to be there. So it's like, no, you were never a recruiter. Don't try to spin it as you are right now. But like, I did like the team didn't have my back comment, because that was kind of, you know, throwing some shade at them and mm-hmm. going out. I mean, more than shade. That's a direct comment. That's good stuff from Derek. It's just, in classic Derek fashion, he could have criticized the thing that he really should have criticized them for, he wasn't criticizing them for. He was criticizing for something else. And that's just usually how it is with Derek, the message getting lost in translation. And look, there was probably fault on all parties just in the back and forth over the years. But, I mean, the Bulls did do Derek dirty on several occasions, just probably not in the recruiting video.
Right, not this one. How sincere do you think Dwayne Wade's text messages with advice to the young Bulls players are going to be throughout the season?
I'm going to say equally as sincere as when I favorite or heart something on Facebook from a middle school friend getting a new job or getting married or something. You know what I mean? Like,
you're just like, oh, that's
I haven't
nice.
Talked to you in a long time. I never paid attention to you for years and years and years, but that's good for you. Like, I'm sure Dwayne in the back of his mind is really thinking, yeah, that is good opportunity for them. I mean, that's why he left with the buyout. But like, no, I'm not buying for a single second this idea that Dwayne Wade really was crushed and about leaving these young guys and sincere.
He was really looking forward to that mentorship opportunity instead of playing with LeBron.
It was
a really tough.
It's a nice gesture for Dwayne Wade to make, to get good headlines for himself.
To say that he's going to send those text messages.
He is absolutely wonderful at having his name in the headlines for the right reasons on almost any occasion. I mean, he gets it. I mean, he gets being a star, not a rock star, but a cultural star, you know what
right.
I mean? An A-list celebrity. He's an A-list celebrity, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, he's not living in Hollywood, but Dwayne Wade's an A-list celebrity, and he understands how to play the game to make sure that you're always viewed as an A-list celebrity. And even if it's something as simple as sending some text messages to teammates, anything that can be thrown in as a nugget, you know, it's always good for the brand. It always makes you look good. So, I don't think Bulls young players have such anger and fervor as they did that night and ensuing meeting in January after he criticized them. But I also say this. I don't think they care about getting the text message. I think they're really happy he's gone.
I think they're fine with if he wants to send him a text message, great. If he doesn't, then they can like show their kids in the future, hey, look, a Hall of Famer sent me a text message sending me words of encouragement. If he doesn't send them a text, I think they'll all be able to sleep just fine.
No,
at night.
Is it not a way better story when like your kid is 12 years old or 14 or something, and you're like, hey, you want to see something cool? Not this text message I got from Dwayne Wade a long time ago, but here, He just put Daddy on blast back in January 2017 after we lost by 10 in a game in which we all were awful down the stretch and all missed shots and nobody played defense, myself or Dwayne included. And then he blasted me.
I always said Rajon Rondo was underrated.
Yes, that's correct. That is...
You know, kid, let me tell you kids about how underrated of a player Rajon Rondo is and why he should be in the Hall of Fame. That's going to be like Bobby Portis in 20 years.
That's true. How far from the Hall of Fame do you think Rajon Rondo is? He's not a Hall of Famer, but that's an interesting case for me. Is he miles and miles from the Hall of Fame? Is he one state over? Is he... You know what I mean?
No,
not at all. But, like, he's had a really good NBA career and was...
I think
he was a two-way... Not superstar, but he was a two-way difference maker... a point guard of absolute joy to watch at the height of his powers. He never could shoot. That's the problem. You can't be in the Hall of Fame if you can't shoot and you're not a big man.
I think if he were to, because you know how sometimes there will be like ABA guys that get in now, like 25 years after they were first eligible, and people are like, oh, this is long overdue. Maybe in like 20 years, there's going to be like a movement for, oh, we should go back and recognize Rajon. Like that's, but there are, like, in terms of, like, recent history, there are so many more guys that, like, I think should be in but aren't. Like, Chris Webber should be in the Hall of Fame by now.
Rondo was a four-time All-Star. Like, by no means do I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. But, like, just saying, like,
he's had a very really good career.
Yeah, excellent career. It's interesting to look at some of that Hall of Fame stuff all the time. I think that'll take care of it for this episode of Locked On Bulls.
My pet Hall of Fame cause is Sean Marion.
Okay.
I think Sean Marion should be in.
He did win, what, one NBA championship with the Mavs?
He was the glue of the 7 seconds or less team, which is one of the greatest teams ever to not win championships.
One of the greatest books I've ever read.
Yeah, like
Jack McCown.
Sean Marion's basically the proto Draymond. Like, that whole offense worked because he was the guy who you could go out there, play multiple positions, guard multiple positions. Like, he's people are going to look back and realize how influential
Sean
Marion
was. They went to the Western Conference Finals in a season in which I think Amari Stoudemire missed 79 of 82 games. Because Steve Nash was MVP level good, and because Sean Marion. Those are the two reasons.
Amari's
MVP Nash and Sean Marion.
Amari's gonna be an interesting case too. Like he had a really short peak, but he was a top five player in the league for like 4 years.
Yeah, but I'm saying no on that too. I think we've talked about this before. I have a really high threshold for people getting into the Hall of Fame in any sport. And being considered a superstar or anything like that.
Right.
And look, you don't have to be a superstar to get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but
the
Basketball Hall of Fame is like the most low standard. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's especially because, like, if it were the NBA Hall of Fame, it would be like a different discussion. But like,
that's true.
But like,
Rajon Rondo's college career adds to
Kentucky. Yeah.
I don't think they went to the Final Four with him. I think they lost out in the Elite Eight or something. I'd have to look that up. That's off the top of my head, but. Yeah, it's
that especially makes it weird that Chris Webber isn't in because you've got the Fab Five and you've got his NBA career.
Yeah, maybe he's not in because he called timeout when they didn't have any and cost
themselves
a national championship. But no, I mean, they revolutionized college basketball, no doubt about that. Juwan Howard, Jalen Rose, Chris Webber, Ray Jackson. I think I'm missing one guy. Forget who it was. Jimmy King. Obviously. There you go.
Don't let Vinny listen to this podcast where you couldn't name the whole Fab Five.
Oh, yeah. Well, you bail me out. That's what teammates do. You know what I mean? That's what teammates do. So that takes care of it for Locked On Bulls. We'll be at the United Center Friday night for the absolutely lit Bulls. Is it
Toronto Raptors?
Just fact-checking, I thought, but I
do
honestly...
Do you think Robin Lopez is going to punch Serge Ibaka again this time?
I hope he just beats up mascots. I guess the Raptors mascot isn't going to travel,
no.
But that's a good point. That is a good point. We'll have to ask Rolo about that, maybe pregame, postgame, if they can get through it without another dust-up. But we'll have Locked On Bulls for you. After that, as always, thanks for listening. You can follow Sean on Twitter, at Hike, and myself, at Cody Weschel, and follow Locked On Bulls on Twitter and on Facebook by its name. Email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any advertising inquiries, basketball questions. We'll take a mailbag episode or throw some of those in pretty soon. But most of all, I'll tell your friends about the podcast and subscribe to it.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow night after the game. Thanks for listening.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.